From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
What do you make of the numbers, the jobs?
Pretty good. Pretty good. In fact, a very good mix as well, if you look at the numbers. So, geez, it was a big day yesterday. Heaps going on. So, yeah, we'll talk about the jobs market first. And kind of hot, really. You've got to dig pretty deep to find negative aspects in it. So the headline number that everyone looks at, the unemployment rate, 4.7%. Now, when we talked yesterday, Mike, I said 5%, small range either side. So 4.7% below the lower end of that range. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand had a 5% forecast, so pretty good number, really. Got to be happy with that. So wage growth is steady. I'll come back to that in a minute. But we saw employment growth, so the percentage of people in employment, that rose, and an increase in the participation rate. So you had more people join the workforce and more people working. So that is a pretty solid mix. So you'd have to describe it as a pretty tight labour market. A couple of comments, though, Mike. Here. Can unemployment actually improve from here? Or will those supply constraints, yeah, you know, not being able to find the workers, actually be too great a factor, so you simply can't find the people? And it brings in the question of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand mandate, which is maximum sustainable employment. The thing is, it's not completely transparent as to what that what actually constitutes maximum sustainable employment. So let's just focus on wage growth for a second. It was 1.6% for the year. So does that number support the thesis that we are at maximum sustainable employment, or should you want to see a bit stronger wage growth than that, Mike? Because remember, inflation could be running above 2%, so wages aren't actually keeping pace with inflation. You've also got this dichotomy, this thing that I'm interested in, is this is you've got wage growth. I mean, that's what a worker focuses on, right? That's what you focus on, what you're taking home. But then you've got the issue of what are the wage costs? Because that's what the employer has to deal with. And there's wage cost pressure on employers at the moment outside of simply what they pay to the workers. So you have minimum wage increases, but then you've got the pressure to move to living wages. You've got increase in leave allowances. You've got more holidays they've got to deal with. So that puts pressure on margins. So this is not a simple question. There is one soft spot, though, Mike, and that's underutilization. So that's a broad measure of spare capacity. So people who are underemployed who want a job but aren't looking. So that rose a little bit. But in general, Mike, labour market's probably a bit tighter than we expected.
Okay, what are Fonterra up to?
Yeah, we talked about the global dairy trade auction result yesterday. So you've got strong dairy prices at the moment. That's cheering farmers up. But it is an input cost for Fonterra. So good for farmers, not so much for Fonterra. But the focus on Fonterra shifted yesterday. Look, Mike, we've got these things called the Fonterra shareholders units. They're listed on the local exchange. They allow non-farmers to gain some exposure to Fonterra's fortunes. Well, Fonterra yesterday announced a trading halt on those units. That was yesterday morning. The trading halt is ahead of an announcement that Fonterra proposes to make before the market opens this morning in relation to a comprehensive consultation process to seek shareholder feedback on potential options to change its capital structure. So trading halt stays in place until tomorrow morning. By way of explanation, I mean, Fonterra is a cooperative structure, so it's owned by the farmers who supply milk to it, but it gives farmers control over it, but it also makes it less flexible when it comes to managing capital. And what that means, Mike, is if Fonterra needs money, it's really only got a couple of ways of doing that. It can generate a profit, and it can keep that as retained earnings, and it can spend that, or it can borrow. But if it can't generate a profit and it can't borrow money, how does it raise equity? Because the cooperative structure restricts it from raising equity. This has been problematic. I can't see farmers ever wanting to lose control of the co-op, no. Mike. There's a call at 11:15 this morning. I'll be listening to that. But this is, you know, it's our biggest one. It's our biggest company, Mike. This is good stuff.
Real quick, RB. Geez, they're angsty about housing, aren't they?
Yeah, we're in good shape. There are vulnerabilities. They said recent borrowers are the most vulnerable, high debt to income, high loan to valuation ratios. They want to see how the market responds to the housing policy announcements. This is the Financial Stability Review. They look like they're favouring debt serviceability measures, debt to income. That's the tool that they think they're going to look at.
Yes, indeed. Numbers?
34,306 on the Dow Jones, bouncing back up 173 points. 4,178 on the S&P 500, or up 13 points. And the NASDAQ bouncing back as well, only marginally up 21 points, 13,654. FTSE 100, 7,039, up 1.7%. The Nikkei, 28812, down about 0.8%. Shanghai Composite, 3446. The Aussie market gained 28 points yesterday, 7095. New Zealand, 12,848, down 64, lost about 0.5%. The currencies, 0.7206 against the US, 0.9305 Aussie, 0.6007 euro, 0.5182 pounds, 78.73 yen. Gold, $1,783.40. And Brent crude, $68.77.
Have a good one, mate. Andrew Kelleher, JMIWealth.co.nz.